turn with me to Romans chapter 14 tonight. Romans chapter 14. I hadn't originally planned to do a message tonight, and this won't be a message. It is a short challenge for me to us as a congregation, really in light of all that we have been going through over these last few months. COVID-19 has really thrown us as a congregation and really our nation into a tizzy. Things have been very difficult. You see that reflected even in giving. We look around the church and people who used to be here aren't here. Some who aren't willing yet to come back because of the issues of COVID-19, and others who have a different viewpoint on it. And folks, what I want to challenge us is with this. There is a way for you and I to deal with these issues in a right and biblical fashion that considers the needs of one another. One another is one of the key terms found in your New Testament. Go look it up. It's over 40 times that that phrase is used. Love one another, serve one another, exhort one another, bear ye one another's burdens, pray for one another. One another comes up over and over and over and over again. The problem with issues such as COVID-19, and to be fair, even the great divide that exists within our nation because of all the things that are taking place and the pandemonium that exists within our nation, seeing just the other day that Atlanta's police refused to patrol, and in that first night, gunfire opened up and people were innocently just walking down the street and being wounded because people are opening fire. That's absolute chaos within our nation. It's easy for us to all come to these things and have very strong opinions about them and to express them without giving consideration to the thoughts of one another. For some folks, COVID-19 breeds fear. And they have every right to be that way. Other people look at it on the other extreme and say, COVID-19 doesn't even exist. It's all a hoax. I don't know where you fall on that, and frankly, I don't care. But how we treat one another in the process matters to me. And sometimes we haven't done all that well from what I've heard and some of the comments that get said. And I want to just give us a little thought, and I want to give you a perspective to think about as we continue to go through this, because it's not ending, okay? You might say COVID-19's over. No, the reality is it's still there. There's still issues. We're still going to be facing some of that. There's still restrictions. It's not done. I would like it to be, but it's not. Some of the pandemonium that's going on and the problems in our nation and the racial divides and the hatred, that's not going away anytime soon. Those things are real and they exist. How do we handle those things when we have such diverse differences of opinion? The answer for me is found in Romans chapter 14, and I want to give us some counsel in relation to that. I'm going to read the first 13 verses. That sounds like we're going to look at a lot. I'm not. I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts to consider. Here's what it says. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou to judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it not unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Neither we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account to himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Here's what I want you to understand with me tonight. In a world of diverse opinions, and in a world of diverse opinions within our congregation, there are some who say COVID-19's a hoax, that we should just have never stopped meeting as a church. We should have just kept going and never listened to the government, and this has all been foolish. And by the way, that thought exists within our congregation. Just to be fair, I'm giving you that extreme, and I've heard it. There are others who would say, why would you even be meeting now? I mean, this COVID-19 thing is going to kill us all. And there's a fear, there's another extreme. And there's a whole bunch of other opinions in between. Okay? How do we handle those differences of opinion and remain one body? And how do we handle that as one church? Here's what Romans 19 says. There is a way that we should respond to our weaker brothers. Now, here's my challenge for us. And here's my question. Who's the weaker brother? In COVID-19, who's the weaker brother? Hoax or fear? Which one's strong? Which one's weak? Answer. Whatever your opinion is, you believe you're the stronger brother and you believe everybody else is weaker. Fair? If you say it's all a hoax, you believe these people wearing masks and separating, they're just the weaker brother. They're living by fear. It's a thought process. So how do we handle our weaker brother in this? Let's just talk about COVID-19. Let's talk about some of the things that we've done as a church and why we've done them. Why have I asked you to wear masks when you come to church? Because I think masks are the answer to all of our problems. I don't. Okay? But I wear masks. Now, you'll see me, if I'm distancing from everybody, I don't put a mask on. One, it interferes with the little microphone on my ear, so I just leave it off and I kind of keep my distance in between services because I'm kind of focused on what I need to do with two services on a Sunday morning. But we ask you to wear a mask. Why? For the benefit of those who believe it's of utmost necessity. And if you're the person that believes that you're the stronger brother because you believe in the fear aspect of it and the need for the mask and all those things, and you just can't understand why these weaker brothers won't do it, how do we respond? Folks, as a church, we're trying to take as balanced a position in this and consider one another in the choices that we've made. I get it. You have the right of your independence as an American citizen to do what you want. God bless your heart. Go do it. But when you come together as the body of Christ, you choose to consider one another. So how do we handle that? Well, if you believe that you're the stronger brother and you don't wear the mask and these weaker brothers do wear the mask, how do you handle that? What's your responsibility not to be a stumbling block? Wear the mask without complaint. If you're the stronger brother because you wear the mask and you think the weaker brother don't wear the mask, what's your responsibility towards your weaker brethren? Say it out again. Don't judge. Okay? I want you to look at a couple verses real quick. Look at verse 1. Him that is weak in faith, what are you to do to him? Receive, but not to doubtful disputations. Anybody know what that means? What? Okay? Basically, the idea is this. Receive him, but not to quarrel with him over his opinions and how they're wrong and compared to yours. That's literally what that means. Don't quarrel with him over his opinions. Jump down to verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? What's it mean to set him at naught? Okay? And it goes beyond that even to the point of condemning him. How do we handle these kind of, frankly, folks, crazy circumstances in the church? How many of you came into 2020 and said, I can't wait for the next pandemic? It wasn't on our horizon, right? And let's face it. We entered 2020, and even though this started back in 2019, nobody thought it was coming to this level. And here it is. The church isn't meeting. And the church went virtual. It wasn't my favorite time as your pastor. It really wasn't. I would much rather stand in front of you and preach to you than to create a video and put it on YouTube. There is absolutely no feedback on YouTube. Okay? I have no clue what people are doing. And, you know, someone puts a thumbs up. I don't know who even put that up there. I liked it. Why? Because it was shorter than normal? I don't know. It's not the most ideal circumstance, and none of us wanted it. And we struggled as a church, and we're suffering some from the fact that some folks just couldn't give through all of this, and we're dealing with that. But can we please understand, and can we agree that God was still good? We still were able to be the church. And frankly, we were probably more to the church in that time than we are when we were meeting together, because we started thinking about one another a little bit more than we had been thinking in the past. That needs to continue. To call, to pray, to reach out, to care, to notice. But folks, the reality is our responsibility in times like this is to love, not to condemn. There are some people in our church, and I will tell you this, that I know specifically have said, we will not be back until COVID-19 is over. I'm okay with that. Because every man has to be convinced in his own mind what he's got to do. Here's what I'm not okay with. There's another group of people that won't come back because we do practice social distancing and you make us wear a mask and I don't do that and I ain't coming until you stop doing that. I've got a problem with that spirit. Because it is not considering one another. It's a wrong spirit. So when we're gathered together and the sign says, if you would please wear a mask, can you wear a mask? They're no fun, right? I mean, if you forgot to brush your teeth and you forgot to put a mint in, it doesn't smell good in there either. Okay? Let's be fair. But the reality is this. I do it because we love one another. I will tell you, I know there are people in our church because of respiratory issues can't wear a mask. So they say, Pastor, what about that? I said, don't wear a mask. I would much rather you not collapse in the building. Just keep your distance and be smart. When we say we want you to keep your distance, we want you to keep distance for the good of everyone. I know it's hard. We love one another, and I want you to love one another. But we may not need to love on one another. There's a difference between that. And we want to be careful in the way that we interact with each other. And folks, I'm trying to keep this lighthearted. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I come in when we started to be able to meet back together, and I'm watching people absolutely grumpy because they're at church, and I'm thinking, you're kidding me. We get to come together. Okay, wear a mask. but I get to be together. Isn't that enough? I can't understand why we fight and we struggle over things that none of us are experts in. But I will tell you this, we will obey the authorities that are over us, and I don't think it's wise to rebel against them unless they tell me you can't worship. And by the way, the government didn't tell me I couldn't worship. And the Bible and the government did not tell me I couldn't preach the gospel. And the Bible didn't tell me we couldn't do certain things that are essential to the ministry of the church. The government made some suggestions when you do finally get back together, no singing. I said, bless your heart, you don't get to tell me what is part of our worship. You can tell me some distancing and some guidelines, and I'm good with that. I'll accept that. But you don't get to tell me what we do as we gather to worship. That belongs to the church. It doesn't belong to government. Okay? So that's where I draw the lines. But, Lord willing, this all too will pass. If the Lord Jesus Christ tarries, and we come back to this meeting next year, COVID-19 is going to be a faded memory in our minds, Lord willing. If not, maybe by 2025. But someday, it'll be a faded memory. And is it really that significant and the greatest trial the church has ever faced in its history? No. But Satan sure does want to stop the church from advancing. And folks, we started 2020 off with a bang. Third week, three people right down the aisle, saved, growing, excited, and it's been a thrill for me as the pastor to watch them and go through discipleship with them. That's fun. Then we can't meet. That's not fun. By the way, I didn't know how to create a video and put it on YouTube before COVID-19 started. And I wish I didn't know how to do it now. And I've spent way too many hours doing video editing and watching the little wheel spin, waiting for it to upload, and going to bed at midnight on Sunday mornings, started out on Saturday night, and going to bed after midnight on Sunday morning. And I'd much rather have gotten up Sunday morning and come to church and preach live. But we did what needed to be done for the benefit of our congregation. Why? Because we love one another. We don't need to quarrel. We don't need to prove our opinions are right. And we don't need to condemn those who differ from us. We need to love one another. Everyone has to be convinced in their own mind. The phrase that really stands out to me is simply this: who are you to judge another man's servant? What's that in reference to? Who's the master and who are the servants? God is the master, and your brothers and sisters are the servants. To whom do those servants belong, you or him? They belong to God, so who are you to judge the way he's working in their life? Okay? And that's on every issue, folks. That's on every issue that we face, that you can't find a thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not clear commandment in Scripture. Okay? That comes to our entertainment choices, that comes to our dress standards, that comes to the way that we eat, as it deals with. Some think that they can eat meat. Some people believe they need to be vegetarians. God bless the vegetarians. Someone's got to eat that vegetables. It ain't going to be me. Right? I prefer to eat mine after they've been processed through the cow. It's a much better way of eating those greens, in my viewpoint. Okay? But the reality is, whatever viewpoint you hold, that's fine. We need to be careful not to be condemning. But the overarching New Testament command is love one another. COVID-19's put that to a challenge for us. And in some ways, we haven't done as well as I would have liked us to have done. And sometimes I don't do as well in this as I would like to do. But God wants us to learn to love one another and not condemn one another. If you reach out to somebody you haven't seen in a while and they say, well, I'm just not, COVID-19, I'm not coming. Don't condemn them for that. If someone doesn't wear a mask, don't condemn them for that. Love. Follow the simple guidelines that we've put out, and as things change, we're changing with them. We went to 3 services because we couldn't safely do 3. 2 services with the numbers, and then the numbers increased, so we went down to 2. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to getting to 1. Okay? I really am. We're going to start adding back Sunday night. Okay? But we're going to wait on Wednesday nights, and it's just we're going to ease our way back in, and we're going to do it as wisely as we can and the best that we can. But let's be careful how we deal with one another, because Satan wants to get in a foothold, and Satan wants to stop us. Here's my goal. I said this to our deacons. I'm going to say it to you. In light of COVID-19, in light of all the things that we've struggled, as I look to a new year, I want to go forward. I want to see God do even more. I want to pray by faith, believing that he will. I want to see us expand and continue to grow and see God do wonderful things, things that we know not, for his glory, for his honor, not for mine, not for yours, but to see our community impacted with the gospel. Aren't you tired of living in the second darkest city in the nation? You and I can actually change that. So, Pastor, there's not a lot of us. It only took 11 guys to turn the world upside down. There's 148 of us. We got a pretty good shot of having an impact. But we have to be committed and ready and not quarreling with one another over things like mask restrictions or viewpoints about this issue and that issue that we're facing. Folks, as I said it this morning, and I'll continue to say it, the solution is Jesus Christ, him alone. Let him be the focus. Let his compassion be our compassion. And let's love as he has loved us. Let's close our time together in a word of prayer, then you'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for our time tonight. We ask and pray your blessing upon us. Thank you for the information that's been shared. Thank you for Jeff and Renee, the work that they do for our finances. And thank you for the deacons and the counsel that they've given and the help to be able to put all these things together that we might be able to present what we believe to be a fair and right budget for this coming year. And Lord, within that budget, there is faith. But Lord, you can increase our faith, and you will, as we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. So Lord, we ask and pray that you would do a work within us and through us that would be a wonderful blessing and marvel to the community around us, that they would see Christ and him glorified. So Lord, we ask and pray your blessing upon our time. We pray your blessing as we now go. Keep us safe this week. In Jesus' name, amen.